self-advocacy because our needs are not embedded in our in the structures that exist. And so we have to constantly inject ourselves into decision-making processes. And, you know, it's not as though the data, like Sharon is saying, the data isn't clear, right? Our lived reality has been painted, right? They know what the landscape is. And it's painful that we have to continue to do this work on our own. That it's not that there was a COVID-19 response that utilized targeted universalism and utilized, you know, structures that said we have to craft an equitable response to this pandemic or else our communities will be left behind. And so what this represents, again, is remedial action for the state to really create this remedy and create a format upon which they can build going forward, right? This is not a full stop. This is a beginning. This is an example of what can and needs to be done over and over again for not just the Black community, but BIPOC communities in general, so that we can get what is, has been long overdue.
This is Claire Rosciato with KBOO Evening News.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
You're listening to Rose City Native Radio, Low Res Edition. Stick with us as we play you music, throwback interviews, and more. Stay safe, wash your hands, wear a mask, and we'll see you on the other side, Indian Country.
Indian legislation's on the desk of a do-right congressman. Now he don't know much about the issue, so he picks up the phone and he asks advice of the senator out in Indian country, a darling of the energy companies who are ripping off what's left of the reservations. I learned a safety rule. I don't know who to thank. Don't stand between the reservation and the corporate bank. They'll send in federal tanks. It isn't nice, but it's reality. Bury my heart. Pretty.
survivors, tradition, dreams that I've been chasing, ambition, breaking my
lyricism, listen, I'm hitting this playing and politicking on the R.E.Z. decisions of living in poverty. You're hard to see my sovereignty, it causing me to follow G.O.D. philosophy. Constantly gossiping, no equality or harmony. Can I get a job? No, you can't, you're not related, man. I hate to see it when I'm animated, get faded. A native awaited, say it, so debated or play it. Everything in life has a price and it's spiritual. You pay it, lay it down and spray the clouds with lyrical spiritual flow. Just to let you know it's on my chest, but you don't hear me, no. We keep on rocking and shocking, cause the time is ticking, talking, and we locking it down. Till you open, we keep knocking wood.
Adopted by a white missionary couple.
I was adopted.
Immediately placed for adoption.
I was in foster care with one family for 18 years. They were white.
My parents loved us, and I understand that, but at the same time,
they took the idea that they were saving me.
Saving us from ourselves.
Being saved, and I should be grateful for the life that I've been given, because any child on the reservation would give anything to live as I was living.
They took us away from our mom. They came marching right in and literally took us and thousands of other children from their home.
It's a way to eradicate us. And to go to a nation's children is one of the sure ways to do that.
The U.S. has a long and brutal legacy of attempting to eradicate Native Americans. For centuries, they colonized Native American lands and murdered their populations. They forced them west and pushed them into small, confined patches of land. But Native Americans resisted. A Board of Indian Commissioners report said, instead of dying out under the light and contact of civilization, the Indian population is steadily increasing. And that was an obstacle to total American expansion. So the U.S. found a new solution to absorb and assimilate them. It all started with an experiment and a man named Richard Henry Pratt.
He had in his charge some prisoners of war, and he taught these men how to speak English, how to read and write, and how to do labor. He dressed them in military uniforms and basically ran an assimilation experiment. And then he took his results to the federal government and said, they're capable of being civilized. So he was able to get this project funded.
In 1879, the government funded Pratt's project, the first ever off-reservation boarding school for Native American children. His motto was to kill the Indian and save the man. What started there at the Carlisle Indian Industrial School was nothing short of genocide disguised as American education. Children were forcibly taken from reservations and placed into the school, hundreds, even thousands of miles away from their families. They were stripped of their traditional clothing, their hair was cut short. They were given new names and forbidden from speaking their native languages.
To take our children and to indoctrinate them into Western society, to take away their identity as indigenous peoples, their tribal identity. I think it's one of the most effective and insidious ways that the U.S. did do harm to indigenous peoples here, because it targeted our children, our most vulnerable. And they tried to make us ashamed for being Indian, and they tried to make us something other than Indian.
There are also accounts of mental, physical, and sexual abuse, of forced manual labor, neglect, starvation, and death.
My great-grandfather went to Carlisle, and nobody in my family ever talked about it. So if you Google Indian boarding schools, the majority of the pictures that you will see will be actually from Carlisle. Colonel Pratt created propaganda. He hired a photographer to create those before and after photos to show that his experiment was working. So it was, you know, intentional propaganda.
And it worked. The Carlisle model of education swept the country and led to the creation of over 350 boarding schools to assimilate Native American children.
On the one hand, we have the Navajo as we find him in the desert. Few of these boys and girls have ever seen a white man. Yet, through the agencies of the government, they are being rapidly brought from their state of comparative savagery and barbarism to one of civilization.
In 1900, there were about 20,000 Native American children in these schools. By 1925, that number more than tripled. Families that refused to send their kids to these schools faced consequences like incarceration at Alcatraz or the withholding of food rations. Some parents who did lose their children to these schools even camped outside to be close to them. Many students ran away. Some found ways to hold on to their languages and cultures. Others, though, could no longer communicate with family members. And some never returned home at all. By stripping the children of their Native American identities, the U.S. government had found a way to disconnect them from their lands, and that was part of the U.S. strategy. During the same era in which thousands of children were sent away to boarding schools, a number of U.S. policies infringed on their tribal lands back home. In less than five decades, two-thirds of Native American lands had been taken away.
The whole thing was purposeful. And the fact that it has been buried in the history books and not acknowledged is also intentional. And in fact, the same tactics were used in New Zealand, Australia, Canada. All of these countries have acknowledged, apologized, or reconciled in some way, except for the United States.
Over time, the brutality of boarding schools started to surface. And after a 1928 report detailed the horrific conditions at some schools, many began to close. In the 1960s, indigenous activism rose alongside the civil rights movement. And by the 1970s, that activism forced more schools to shut down. The government handed over control of the remaining boarding schools to tribes to be run in partnership with the Bureau of Indian Affairs. But just as the boarding school era started fading, another assimilation project took shape: adoption. The main goal of this pilot project was to stimulate the adoption of American Indian children to primarily non-Indian adoptive homes. They claimed it was to promote the adoption of the forgotten child, but it was essentially a continuation of the boarding school assimilation tactics. And the strategy came with a financial advantage for the government, too. Adoption was cheaper than running boarding schools. But first, adoption officials had to sell white America on the idea of adopting Native American children. Feature stories like this one in Good Housekeeping marketed them to white families. They were described as unwanted, and adoption gave them a chance at new lives. In the end, their media campaign worked. White families wanted Indian adoption. But the problem was, many of these children were not orphans that nobody wanted. They were kids often ripped apart from families that wanted to keep them.
You still will hear stories today of people, you know, my age, older, saying, I remember as a child, the social worker was coming and people would hide their children.
On reservations, social workers used catch-all phrases like child neglect or unfit parenting as evidence for removal. But their criteria was often questionable. Some accounts describe children being taken away for living with too many family members in the same household.
An extended family is a big thing for Native people, and that means being judged for being in a house that's overcrowded. So it's always whiteness is the standard for success. And everything else is judged by that standard.
By the 1960s, about 1 in 4 Native children were living apart from their families. The official Indian Adoption Project placed 395 Native American children into mostly white homes, but it was just one of many in an era of Native American adoptions. Other state agencies and private religious organizations began increasingly making placements for Native American children, too.
My mother giving me up was a white person telling her if she didn't, she would never see her other kids again.
In one of the documents I have, it's addressed to my biological father, Victor Fox, that he was trying to look us up to get a hold of us. But Hennepin County wrote, Daniel and Douglas are adapting very well in their new family. This was totally, it was a false statement.
When you're adopted, you know you're missing something. I think I've likened it to having, like, when someone has like a 500-piece puzzle and they have all the pieces to make this pretty picture, except one.
My adoptive mother was not well, verbally, physically, and sexually, and spiritually abusive. So by the time I was 14, I started drinking. 15, drugs were added, and I became an addict to numb. I didn't realize I was numbing pain.
I tried suicide. I tried slicing my wrist one time.
Children were taken and believed like I believed for a long time that there was something wrong with me versus something wrong with the system.
The Indian Adoption Project was considered a success by the people who set it in motion. Officials claimed, generally speaking, we believe the Indian people have accepted the adoption of their children by Caucasian families and have been pleased to learn the protection afforded these children. But the truth was unsettling.
These hearings on Indian children's welfare is now in session.
Well, I was pregnant with Bobby, and the welfare kept coming over there and asking me if I'd give him up for adoption.
Before he was even born?
Yeah.
They picked up my children and placed them in a foster home. And I think that they were abused in a foster home.
4 years after Native people organized in this Senate hearing, Congress passed the Indian Child Welfare Act, known as ICWA,
gives tribes a place at the table in court.
States would be required to provide services to families to prevent removal of an Indian child. And in case removal was necessary, they would have to try to keep the child with extended family or another Native American family.
Without our relatives, we cease to exist. So with Native people, part of our wealth is in our family. It's in who we're connected to.
But the legacy of family separation in Native communities has been difficult to fully undo. Today, Native American children are 4 times more likely to be placed in foster care than white children, even when their families have similar presenting problems. In these cases, ICWA is often the best legal protection they have, and it's been under attack repeatedly.
A young girl ripped from her foster family because of the Indian Children Welfare Act.
White adoptive families intent on keeping Native American children have tried to do away with the act, and they're often backed by conservative organizations.
The Indian Child Welfare Act was dealt a blow earlier this month.
The subject of a lawsuit issued on Tuesday by the Goldwater Institute arguing that preferences given to American Indian families to adopt Indian children is unconstitutional and discriminates based on race.
It's a way for these industries, these very powerful industries, to try to attack what Indian identity is.
Wanting to overturn ICWA is connected to everything about who we are as a nation. So if we don't have any protections for our families, and if we don't have protections for our treaties, then we have no more Indians.
We've been under attack, we're gonna continue to be under attack, and we have to keep fighting.
It's in our DNA to survive.
We are nations that pre-exist European contact, and we are still here.
Traditional ways that are hidden away can be revived by the
sieht gut mönen, er ist geht in Ultie, gut und abemmig mag wa hat ihn. Gula sieht gut mönen, tanu an abemmig so tie, gut und abemmig wedju kem do tine. Where you came to tine, a libre water gizzy hulinug, yet skits garmic. Way oh hey, hi, 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 hi,
Super Indian.
Super Indian. Moccasin Minute. Boss Lady Lena Marie sits in her huge office overlooking the Leaning Oak Bingo Hall.
I'd better turn on the radio. My new spot is on at the top of the hour.
Yellowhammer. Good one. I'm Chester Logan on KOAK AM, the voice of the Leaning Oak Reservation. We have a brand new segment for you.
Oh, goody.
Which gaming boss used tribal funds to travel to Beverly Hills for some reservation term abrasion and a tribal tummy tuck?
Whoa.
None other than Lena Marie.
What?
I'm Vivian Hardy with your Moccasin Minute. And now the weather.
Vivian! That new age wannabe! Hubert! Get in here!
It's time for Super Indian! Hubert Logan's secret identity is known only to a trusted few.
Hubert! What idiot hired Vivian Hardy?
My Uncle Chester.
Well, I'm gonna whoop him!
Dang. Yeah, I better warn him.
Hubert gathers his sidekick, Mega Bear, and Deoji as Chester Logan continues his broadcast.
The Moccasin Minute is a hit. Just listen to those phones. Here's one more from Yellowhammer.
Oh, Chester, it's Lena Marie. Don't let that downer in here.
Ah, Vivian, stop being paranoid.
Oh, that heifer shut down my New Age bookstore.
That's because you sold sacred items and weird rocks. Answer one of those phone lines, please, Vivian.
This is Vivian Hardy.
Hello, Vivian.
Wampa, my wicked overlord. The mystic crystals of Malibu you enchanted will take down the man.
Oh, Vivian, when I get through with you!
Well, if it isn't loudmouth Elena. These crystals reveal your deepest, darkest secrets. Tell me.
Hubert Logan has a secret identity.
Vivian, what are you doing?
Chester, what are your secrets? Tell me.
I have a library book that's 5 years overdue.
Unbeknownst to Vivian, Super Indian, Mega Bear, and Deoji hide behind the studio door.
Hubert, you were right. There is something funny going on here.
Yeah, I knew there was trouble.
Holy New Age fraud.
Mega Bear, the mystic crystals of Malibu.
Oh, wow. They sparkle like the Fortress of Solitude.
Deoji, Mega Bear, we have to stop Vivian.
Yep.
Miss Hardy, release those crystals and we
release... We're live on KOAKAM radio. Super Indian. Do you have a secret?
Shades of a shady shaman. Mega Bear, turn off the radio microphone.
Got it, Super Dude.
Give me those crystals, Miss Hardy.
No!
These rocks are no match for my super strength.
Crushed with this bare hands. All my power gone, except for this.
Not since the summer of love has there been such a light show.
A talking res dog we reach, brother.
Oh, Deoji sounds like that guy on Frasier.
You can hear me, Mega Bear? Vivian's shamanic humming has temporarily transformed my ordinary yips into audible speech that others besides Super Indian can comprehend.
Suddenly, the disembodied head of Wampum Bags appears above the broken crystals.
Never send a hippie to do an evil villain's job.
Wampum Bags, I should have known. Mega Bear and I will take everyone to safety. Deoji, finish the broadcast.
With pleasure. You are tuned to 50,000 watts of reservation power on KOAKAM. Remember this hit from the Intergalactic Toaster Experience?
Super Indian and Mega Bear help Chester, Lena, Vivian exit the radio station, where they are greeted by an excited crowd and the tribal police.
Hey, look, it's Super Indian.
Hey, who's doing the broadcast? They have a really good radio voice.
That's an old demo tape I found. Somebody named D.O.G.
Doesn't that spell dog?
Join us next time for another episode of Super Indian.
Super Indian.
A Native Voices at the Autry production.
Toto he fenua to murine era noti he meka meka koura fakara. Ooh.
fa Cairo ai que di te onne o qui o ca hey ra tua hey ra ta ma ta
on a daily grind to get back into the rhythm of tradition, not religion. religion. Cause a residential method tied to boozy type of living. Our people and the youth, we struggle as a group, fighting battles on the daily. Ask your elders for the truth. It only gets harder till you find the sights of martyring or demons and defeat them. Cause we know we got the power, y'all. Revitalize, revitalize. Put your hands up in the air right now. Revitalize, revitalize. Raise your fist high in the air right now. Revitalize, revitalize. Put your hands up in the air right now. Revitalize, revitalize. Raise your fist high while we rise. Don't call it lost culture, call it revitalization. Language is our seed and we're growing through the pavement. Syllabics the roots, dialect is our leaves. Flower is our power and community our tree. We come too damn far for us to ever give up. Now it's time to elevate each other, truly rise up. The only real battle is the battle within. Once you believe in yourself, then your journey will begin. My mother is sacred, she's a survivor for real. Though it's taken her and I so many decades to heal. Still we persevere cause we got dreams to fulfill. Like my sis Equal said, success is a good kill. I be killing it and doing this amongst my sisters. Heal beside our men and truly educate the youngsters. They rely on us and so we gotta stay tough. So make your offering with unconditional love. Revitalize, revitalize. Put your hands up in the air right now. Revitalize, revitalize. Raise your fist high in the air right now. Revitalize, revitalize. Put your hands up in the air right now. Revitalize, revitalize. Raise your fist high while we rise. Revitalize, revitalize. Put your hands up in the air right now. Revitalize, revitalize. Raise your fist high in the air right now. Revitalize, revitalize. Put your hands up in the air right now. Revitalize, revitalize. Raise your fist high while we rise.
So how do we become resilient? It's feeling the blood of the women ancestors in my veins. Finding our voice and being strong enough and brave enough to get up and talk about our experience. Revitalization.
The history of the Indian and the history of the American have now come full circle and were intertwined. Dictatorial policies of those that control the monetary system of America.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to history. Prayers up to the one called the Great Mystery. I wrote this in the rainstorm till the thunder came for all my people to stay strong in the Hunger Games and use my sensories to open irises with 2020 vision. Coronavirus, this is the world we living in, but we ain't giving in. Gotta break free from society's conditioning. Some of us panic and some of us stay cool. Some promote truth, yo, and some promote fake news. We gotta stay tuned to the bad schemes. They got a patent on the virus and the vaccines, yo. It's like a bad dream. I hope you kids get this. All of your sicknesses are big business. Call it conspiracy or call it common sense. Whether you believe in prophecy or you on the fence, behold a pair of horse. Now you vaccinated. You can trust the government, yeah. Just ask the native. Has God forsaken our souls? My occupation is stopping hating this population control, yo. I do my part with my art until I fade away. The revolution starts in your heart, and today's the day. I think it's safe to say we living in revelations. The United States of America's a reservation. I pray to the four directions and I start in the east. We in the era of the mark of the beast. Radio frequency ID chips, yeah, yo. I see the bright eclipse. Radio frequency ID chips. I see the bright eclipse. Yeah, come on.
what you feel half as good as they taunt you. So how is it fair when they break all the rules that they taught you? But you stay in the game, pay all the prices it cost you. He's an Indian horse with his blades on the ice. He's stand his ground, he stand for his right. He won't go down without. Getting out of this side, it's more than a game, it's part of his life. He won't go down without no fight, it's true. No fear in his heart, straight from the start he comes at you. Through slashes and doesn't look, he gets past you. With the wind at his back and belief in his hands, he rifles a puck to the back of the net. He won't go down without no fight, it's true. He's an Indian horse with his blades on the ice. He'll stand his ground, he stand for what's right.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. You can find us on Facebook at Rose City Native Radio. For events, music, and more, please email us at pdxnativeradio@gmail.com. We're going to continue history topics and other topics, so if there's something you would like to know more about, maybe we can try and cover it or find a mini documentary to play. Let us know at pdxnativeradio@gmail.com. That's pdxnativeradio@gmail.com. And as always, wear a mask, wash your hands, and stay safe out there, Indian country. We'll see you next week.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands, and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today.
To the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way.
To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people.
To those who left their communities by force or by choice and through generations no longer know who they are.
To those who search and never find, to those that turn away the so-called non-accepted, to those that bring us together, and to those living outside keeping touch, the voice for many.
To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people, to those that give up and those who do not care, to those who abuse themselves and others, and those who revive again, to those who are physically,
mentally or spiritually incapable by accident or by birth. To those who seek strength in our spirituality and ways of life, and those who exploit it, even our own. To those who fall for the lies and join the dividing lines that keep us fighting amongst each other.
To the outsiders who step in, good or bad, and those of us who don't know better. To the leaders and prisoners of war, politics, crime, race, and religion, innocent or guilty.
To the young, the old, the living, and the dead. To our brothers and sisters and all living things across Mother Earth,
and her beauty we've destroyed and denied the honor that the Creator has given each individual.
The truth that lies in our hearts, all my relations.
Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.